Well, I know that this is a difficult assignment, that right after lunch, to hold attention, and so I picked a specific book for that. And I think Obadiah is a good one for that. Turn to that that book, open that up. We said that some of the prophets are called by God to tell your own people this. You're not going to be received. They're not going to listen to you. You're going to be persecuted for it. But go tell your people this. That was a difficult assignment. I don't know that it was any easier for Obadiah and Nahum and Habakkuk to prophesy to a foreign people, but that was the assignment. Last time, which I'm sure seems just like yesterday and is coming back to you with every breath, we talked from Obadiah chapter, or the first few verses in Obadiah was a month ago, October 22nd, and we're given the second installment, and the third one will be probably after Christmas. We talked about Edom's past is known to God. So here you have an ancient people who are related to Israel, and they have a history in Genesis and in 1 Samuel and in Jeremiah, other places. There is reference to Edom, the Idumeans. We said Herod was a famous Idumean. And this seemed to be more than a Hatfields versus McCoys incident. This is a people who delighted in taking every opportunity to try to get at the people of God. And in so doing, they're showing that they were anti-God, these relatives of Esau, by going after the people of promise. God is not the source of evil, but God says, I am going to use the Edomians. I'm going to use other people to punish you, Edomians. And God says, even their cruelty becomes a weapon or a measurement of God on vengeance. We talked about from Zechariah. Let me read this verse before we go too far. From Zechariah chapter 2, I think it's verse 8. He says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Talking about how we protect the eye. We instinctively, when they give you that little eye test to measure pressure, and they say you're going to feel a little puff of air, you know it can't hurt you, but you still recoil. You anticipate it. You know it's coming. God says to Israel, you're going to be threatened, to the people of God, the people of promise. He says, and yet he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. All right, going back to Obadiah here, it's certainly a short book. Next time we study it, we'll probably read through the whole book again. You could read through it several times, and that would be fine. It's not a minor prophet, okay? It's not one of the greater books. It's a very short book, but the theme of it carried great weight. And we said we study it because all Scripture is given by God, and that is reason enough. The date, we said, is either 586 in reference to the Nebuchadnezzar, or 850 during the reign of Jehoram. You got good men who line up, and they have interesting arguments for both. But here you have this Edom, the ancient and historic enemy of Israel, because they were anti-God. And even though, as we just read, they were convinced that they dwell in security, he says the sword of Damocles is swinging over your head, and judgment is sure. So last time, in looking at this historic people, we talked about their relationship going back to Genesis 36 and other passages. And then sometimes you have the Edomites, Edomians going after the people of Israel, taking opportunity to take advantage of them. And then sometimes you have people like through David conquering the people of Idumea. So it becomes an interesting book. It doesn't address Israel at all in particular in name, but this message to Edom of certain judgment should have been an encouragement to the people of God. God has not forgotten us. Edom doesn't hold the key. They don't have the power. God does. People are not in control, ever. God is in control, always. Okay? Look at with me at verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Verse 12, do not gloat over the day. Literally, don't feast your eyes on the day of your brother and the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. So we looked at their past is known to God. And I'm going to look briefly this afternoon at their present is exposed by God. Through Obadiah, he says, I know what's on your heart. I know what you're up to. Now, by present, I don't mean what's going on today. The next time we get together, if I talked about Edom's past, and then we're looking at Edom's present, the next message will be about what? No. No, you were right. Yeah, it is about Edom's future. We could say, certainly, much of the Arab world has animosity towards Israel, and it's all out of the pride of their own heart. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about during Obadiah's day, he describes what's going on presently with them. And in verses 3 and 12, it's this. They are swollen with pride. He says, you are full of pride. You say in your heart, you're in your lofty dwelling. Who will bring you down to the ground? He says, you're deceived. The pride of your heart, verse 3, has deceived you. The word used there speaks of being deluded, beguiled, led astray, mentally deluded, spiritually or morally seduced. He says, you have allowed past successes and present prosperity to confuse you to think this is the way it will always be. And when we get to Peter, we find there are people who say, all things remain as they did in the days of our fathers, right? Now, a little history here that the Idumean capital, Petra, was at once known as Sela. It was actually kind of a lost and forgotten city. It was carved in rock. It was accessible through a very narrow canyon, almost a mile long, and it was, I think, in the 1800s, 1812, August of 1812, that a archaeologist, Johann Burckhardt, I think it was, discovered that, and they find this old Nabataean capital, and you look there at this rosy red rock fortress that was high. They thought themselves greater than they were. They thought they were strong enough and big enough to mock Israel, to steal from Israel, to attack Israel. And God says, it's not going to always be this way. He's telling them times are going to change, and he's basically encouraging the Israelites as well. When I judge Edom, you have a certain future, and they do not. When we read the Lord God, as Landon said in Obadiah, it is in reference to stress that he is Lord, the sovereign power of God who controls the nations. It also tells us that God is involved. He's not sitting idly by just looking at how things are going. He is moving things, assuring the outcome that he has promised. The fool that we talked about this morning, in every era, asked this question in verse 3. Who will bring me down to the ground? The fool is full of themselves, aren't they? And Edom is a nation of fools. And this arrogance can be seen in national politics. It can be seen in secular science. It can be seen in vain education, in all godless thinking. When people say, who could bring us down? Who can displant our theory about the world, or about our economics, or our philosophy? The word of God is nothing. Our philosophy is everything. Well, Proverbs 16:18 says to the fool, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Proverbs 8, verse 13, God hates arrogance, hates pride. It's the original sin that causes Lucifer to fall from serving in the presence of God, Isaiah, and is at the root of unregenerate man's refusal to worship God and put him first. And as I mentioned last time, Judah has a king by the name of Amaziah. He invades Israel during the time of their king is Joash at the time. And Judah's king, right after victory over the Ephraimites and the Edomites, you know what Amaziah did? He set up his gods and worshiped them. That's 2 Chronicles 25, verse 14. He set up his gods. Which gods did he set up? When you study God's word, you have to ask questions like that. He set up verse 20 says, the gods of Edom. He just conquered a people, and he took their idols that couldn't protect them, and he worships them. How vain, senseless, how foolish is that? That shows the thinking of the unregenerate mind. Amaziah tries to take credit for the victories in 2 Chronicles 25:19. God had given them. And instead of man saying, what wealth have I gotten by myself? What victories am I responsible for? What knowledge did I come up with? What have I discovered, truly discovered? And the answer is nothing. It should bring us back to say, all wisdom is from God. All power is from God. All truth is from God. But the fool always gives himself credit. And so Judah and their kings were prone to the same idolatry of Edom. God warns Edom through people like Obadiah. They are destroyed, and the destroyers turn and pat themselves on the back. What's the pride of Edom in our text? That they were willing to do anything. They didn't fear any nation. Here you got another superpower that's coming along, verses 5 through following, and they think that they can ride the coattails of that success. So I said, their present is exposed by God. They're swollen with pride, and they're void of good counsel. And let me read to you this text. I've already turned to it, I believe, in Jeremiah 49, verse 7, where he says, concerning Edom, thus says the Lord. This is a short section in Jeremiah 49, about half of that chapter, where he says, in verse 7, concerning Edom, thus says the Lord, is wisdom no more in Teman? Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? What's he in reference to? Or in our text, in verse 8 of Obadiah, will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom? These cousins of the Jews prided themselves on their ancient form of wisdom, verse 8 tells us. They thought they were clever enough to work with a superpower like Babylon and not get burned. We can we can hold hands with them and destroy the people of God, and we'll profit from it. And what could go wrong? That's another thing the fool says. What could go wrong? Well, Obadiah points out, as God speaks through him and warns these people, you factored me out of the equation. And I'm telling you, judgment is the answer here. It could be, and a lot of commentators, historians believe that Edom was on a trade highway. They traded with India and Africa and Europe. And what happened a lot of times is that people that came through and traded with you, you had conversations with them, you bought their trinkets, you learned their wisdom, what was going on around the world, and learning from ancients afar. It could be that they were not only learning from the wisdom of other cultures, but that these who consider themselves wise are more like military tacticians. That what he's in reference to is that you think that these men who are skilled in art of war, by listening to them and elevating them up to ancient wisdom status, he says that you're untouchable. But he says your schemes, your strategy, your war machine, your alliances, he says they will be what in verse 8? I will destroy them. And the whole last part of the book talks about the things that are going to be dispossessed, and they shall, verse 18, and they shall burn them and consume them. There shall be no survivor for the house of Israel. So whether they listened, I guess I would say, to their mystics or to their war advisors, either way, they were not listening to God. They had enough connection with Israel that they should have known what the God of Israel was saying. And he says, and you don't listen to God. And that's the definition, going back to this morning's message, of a fool, is that they don't listen to God. And Edom was in the grip of that. James 4:17 says, the one who knows to do the right thing and does not do it is sinning. Well, wrap this up here. We'll keep things short today, and you can thank me later. I yield the balance of my time to the next message. How's that? At the time that God delivers to Obadiah to deliver to Edom this message, judgment was certain. Kind of like in Habakkuk. No, it's coming. Wait, God, how are you going to do this? Through this people. Wait, you're too holy then to use them. He says, the Edomites were proud. They were deceived by their pride, as we saw in verse 3. You know, who will bring me down to the ground? Notice in verse 2 of our text, he says, I will make you small. I will make you, and then verse 4, I will bring you down. The future is secure. God says, you think that you're perched up in your wall. You've got this narrow, long canyon that nobody can get to your capital, but that they march almost single file through that canyon. Well, that would be ripe for picking, wouldn't it? Bodies at times would be described, be stacked up in that canyon as people tried to attack the city. They said, you know, people have tried before. You can't get to us. He says, you will be destroyed. Bible history and Bible prophecy on both ends point us to the same conclusion. A holy God is in control. Well, what about today? You and I say, well, when I share the gospel, how's this going to turn out? God is in control. It's easy for us to be shocked at the treachery of Israel against Edom against Israel, as we saw this morning, because of our connection with Adam, we are hostile to God. We are children of wrath. looking at Mark chapter 7. We are equally complicit. We can do acts of treachery and rebellion. And Edom and all who trust in a way outside of God are bringing judgment to themselves. Again, the mark of a fool. We said they have the DNA of the devil. They have judgment coming. It ends in the way of destruction. And here you had a people that that instead of saying, well, God has promised, God, a birthright was given to them, we would be better off serving them, promoting what God is doing through Israel. They could not bring it to themselves to do that. They couldn't bring themselves to honor God by saying, well, this is God's plan. This is where God's blessing is. And we can go along with that, and we'll know a secondary blessing. What nation comes to mind when I say a nation that believes that it can think its way out of any threat, or fight its way out of any threat, or have an alliance with? I think it is Israel. You know, I've seen interview after interview with Israeli generals saying, we don't want anything of America. Just stay out of our way. We have the machinery. We have the ability. We have the will to fight. We can win this if everybody just leaves us alone. They have factored God out of the equation. Israel is as secular as it gets right now. Or a philosophy that leaves out God, leaves out the truth. I said, God is in control, man is not. Isn't it interesting to when you're reading God's word, sometimes he uses supernatural means, a storm that comes out of nowhere, locusts that come out of somewhere, and then sometimes he uses a supernatural means that, well, the Nabataeans, let's go back to verse 7 as we close. All your allies have driven you to your border. He's describing the destruction that was coming. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. Sounds like the Lord coming to these men that were swollen with their own sense of importance and their knowledge. I learned under Gamaliel. I learned this. I know this much of the law. And Jesus comes along and he says, you know nothing. You don't really have the connection with your father Abraham that you think you do. The Nabataeans were caravan drivers whom the Edomites trusted and traded with. They're business partners, okay? And it appears through history that they allowed them into the city. They brought the Trojan horse in of trade. And the Nabataeans turned against the Edomites and conquered them almost from the inside out. You say, really, you couldn't see that coming? You were so smart, you had such great wisdom, you didn't know that when you bring your enemy in, that it would destroy you? I tell you, by way of application, you and I need to be very careful what we bring in, yes? We bring into our hearts and our thinking. I've had many counseling situations where people weeping saying, I wish that before I allowed myself to watch this programming and these images, now I can't get them out. Now I have these thoughts. Now I be very careful. But God is in control. God can say, I'm not going to send lightning. I'm going to allow the very people that you trusted in and you thought you had an alliance with, they're going to be your undoing. Because God is in control. Guard your heart with all, what? Diligence, for out of it is the what? The issues of life. Yeah, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're not just studying an ancient people and what they trusted in and how they went down. We are looking at the very nature, the character, the glory of God. Before these events happen, you told how it would happen. It was by your power and for your glory that they were destroyed and for which we are saved. You can go both ways on that. You can destroy a people, you can save a people, and the glory goes to God. Lord, we ask that you would help us to rest in the assurance that our God is sovereign and man is not. And we pray for modern Israel. They seem to be swollen with the same pride that Edom had. And Lord, we ask that you would open the hearts of your people, that they would once again see their true Messiah and trust in you. We know that it won't be until they're surrounded on every side and they're panicking, and then they shall see, and then they shall trust, and then they will be given a heart to believe. So we pray for people that show that same foolishness of whatever God says, they reject. Whatever man says, that they trust. We pray that you would do a work to turn hearts, and that your gospel would be received, and that people would come to know you as Savior. Give us boldness to go out with the very instruction of Christ, the very gospel of God, that alone can turn hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you on Wednesday, and pray for Kevin. He's got an important passage from Lamentations 3, correct, that he'll be speaking on, so pray for him to have rich time of study and come and encourage him. You know, it would be really good for him is the whole time he's teaching on Wednesday, just shake your head no, and just see if he can get through it. All right, let's pray.